You cannot honestly serve God faithfully without understanding chastening and rewards. You need to be clear on this. Eternal life is guaranteed to all believers, but never make the mistake of thinking Christians can live as they please without consequences. They cannot. This is very important because failure to make this clear can keep a person from wanting to trust Christ as their Savior. Numbers in chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Look there in verse 5. It says, "Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." There were a couple tribes. They wanted to be on one side of Jordan. They didn't want to cross over. And so Moses says, "Now wait a minute. You mean you want to stay on this side and you don't want to go over there and fight the enemy?" Because the enemy was in the land of Canaan. He says, "Should you stay here and they go to war?" So he says in verse 6, "Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them." He says, "Don't you remember 40 years ago when I sent those 12 spies into the land? 10 of them came back with an evil report and discouraged the people, and 2.5 million people didn't go into the land because they got discouraged and didn't believe that they could go into the land. The only two was Joshua and Caleb, and they got to go into the land." He says, so for 40 years, people from 20 years old and up that murmured against him and wouldn't go, he said, they died off. And now you're trying to tell me 40 years later, you don't want to go into the land, you don't want to fight? "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, till all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." In other words, God just let them die. You don't want to go in the land? You don't have to go in the land. You can die out here in the wilderness. And everybody who did want to go, God kept them alive. Isn't it something? God can keep certain ones alive and other ones die. And everybody from a certain age to a certain age, they all died. After 40 years, God just let them die. And all the other ones, God kept them alive. 40 years. And he says, Joshua and Caleb, who did believe him, up there in verse 12. Two of them believed God, and those two got to go into the land. Isn't it something? The other 10 died, and those two stayed alive. Do you think life and death is in God's hands, or it's just a coincidence? Do you think your life is just a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. All the things that happens, it's not, well, it's just a coincidence. No, it's not. Your life is being determined by the decisions that you make and the attitude that you have between you and your God today. The quality of your life is being determined by your obedience to God now. And what happens tomorrow, the next day, is all being prepared based upon how you are. You say, not true. Yes, it is. Believe the Bible. Whether you live or die, it's in God's hands. But some people live and some people died. We say, well, when it's your time to go, you're going to go. You ever hear people say that? Not necessarily true. Why? Because it was the will of God that all those people went into the land. Did they all go? No. It was the will of God that those other 10 that went in to spy the land, they would have lived and went into the land. But did they live? No, they didn't. They died. Well, it was their time to go. No, it wasn't. It's because they hurried matters along. They rebelled against the Lord. Now look there in verse 14. "And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead." 40 years later, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. "For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all those people." In other words, you want to repeat. Some people never learn. Never learn. You have sown wild oats in the past, and you reap the wild oats now. And instead of you learning from that, you'll keep on sowing more wild oats. Why? So you can reap more wild oats later. Dumb. As my wife would say, duh. I hate duh. Say, what does duh mean? I don't know, but it says a lot. Verse 17 says, "But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place." He says, here's what we'll do. if you let us stay on this side of Jordan, we'll go into the land first, fight the enemy, and after it's all over with, then we'll come back. But we want to just be able to have a place for our wife and our kids and for the animals, and then we'll go and we'll fight with Israel, and then after it's done, then we'll go back. And Moses says, that is acceptable. That is acceptable. In verse 20, and Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterwards ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But, look, next verse, you've heard this verse before. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and you ought to underline this in your Bible. Be sure your sin will find you out. Do you believe that as a Christian you can live your life the way you want and get away with it? You say, well, no, but you'll do it. You'll still be mean and ugly and unkind and will not wholly follow the Lord, and you know it's wrong, and you still won't be truly dedicated to God. You're half-hearted. It's the same thing. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, I want you to look there in your notes. You say, I was wondering when we'd get to those. Look at the first little box. This is under chastening and rewards. You cannot honestly serve God faithfully without understanding chastening and rewards. You need to be clear on this. Eternal life is guaranteed to all believers, but never make the mistake of thinking Christians can live as they please without consequences. They cannot. This is very important, because failure to make this clear can keep a person from wanting to trust Christ as their Savior. It is important for you to know, if you want to serve God, you need to understand chastening and rewards. What does it mean? It's the way God deals with his children. Because once you trust him as your Savior, you are his child forever. You can never lose your salvation. He'll never cast you out, never lose you. You are his child. But how does God deal with his children? That you need to know, so that you'll understand how to serve God. Why you should serve the Lord. How to perceive the things that happens to a child of God. Number one, the privileges. There are privileges that you can have. Privileges are things that God gives to you. When you are saved, you become God's son, and God becomes your father. While you have certain privileges as a child of God, your father also has the responsibility of taking care of you. Point one, understand this. Now you're God's child. There are privileges that you get as a child of God the lost man doesn't get, because he's not a child of God. You are. You're special. Yes, you are. You're now his child. You're special. But God, being your father, he has also responsibilities to you. And one of those responsibilities is that he cannot let you live as you please and get away with it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Shake your head. All right. I would like to know that I'm not speaking to a bunch of zombies, that you do have movement in your head and you do hear what I'm saying, because you will give account to God for what you hear. The next statement. Number two, punishments. If a person thinks a Christian could live in sin and not be punished for it, he doesn't know much of the Bible, nor does he understand the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. You are his child. You have opportunities. You are privileged to live this side of eternity, and God wants to use you, his child, to accomplish great things. You are not here for you. Your biggest mistake is going to believe, I'm here for me. And what I want, and what I want to do, and what I want to be, that's the priority. That's wrong. If you put yourself in front of God, that's idolatry. That's idol worship. You worship yourself. You may not worship somebody, you may worship you. Your will over God's will. The last statement he says in the book of 1 John chapter 5, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Worshiping something other than God, and it could be yourself. I'm going to do what I want to do. What about me? My life? No, it's not. It's God's, and you belong to Him. So your goal in life is to find the will of God for you. Now, so you understand there's privileges, there's punishments when you disobey. Look at the next statement. God deals with His children mainly in two ways. For blessing, for chastening. Now, do you want the blessings of God or the chastening of God? Chastening isn't always bad. There's several parts to chastening. Chastening also finds underneath it the area of discipline, of correction. It's a form of raising a child. It's not always bad. But when a child does that which is wrong, he is to be corrected. He is to be rebuked. He is to be chastened in the sense that he is to have corporal punishment. And your heavenly Father will do this to you. And He says that He will chasten every son whom He receiveth. If a child of God doesn't receive chastening, then God said, that's not His child. That's what God said. God says that is a bastard. That's an illegitimate child, not His. Somebody claiming to be God's child, but not His child. If you are a child of God, God said He will chasten, and very severely if necessary. But understand, number one, just because you are His child forever and He'll never cast you out and never lose you, don't you misunderstand grace. Grace gets you into the family of God. But now that you are a child of God in His family, you cannot live as you please and get away with it. God wants you to live by grace, means live for the Lord because of what He did. But when you don't appreciate what He did, you can take that free gift of eternal life and never serve God. But God says, if you don't, understand, I'm going to chasten you, and you're not going to like it. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, God chastens you for a reason. But number one, for blessing. When you respond to and obey the Lord's leading in your life, God's discipline for you will be mainly one of guidance, encouragement, and further instruction. Because there's a God in heaven that wants to bless you. But He cannot bless disobedience. And some of God's children, remember this, I was talking to somebody about this just a couple days ago. You need to be focused. When you go up there and you hear Greg Stewart dare to share, he is a man that is focused. A couple years ago, people used to talk about Tiger Woods. He was so focused upon golf. He thought nothing but golf. He was focused. One thing, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man. A double-minded Christian, that verse is to believers, not lost people. Double-minded man is you don't follow the Lord wholly, not totally. You only dabble with it. Enough to try to keep God off your back or hoping that you're doing just enough that get some blessing so that you can halfway enjoy life because you feel guilty if you don't do it. Your coming to church might be out of guilt more than because you love the Lord. You read the Bible because you're guilty if you don't do it. Not because you really want to and you can't wait to study the Bible. Or you pray or you witness to somebody because you want to, but not out of guilt. And some people feel guilty because they live their life in guilt. That's not grace. That's legalism. When all that you do is out of guilt, that's legalism. When you do it because you want to, that's grace. And many people have never learned how to live by grace. You do it because you want to. You treat your husband right because you want to. You treat your wife right because you want to. You live a good life because you want to. Or I do because I have to. No, you don't get it. And if you don't serve God fully and wholly, then God says He's going to chasten you. So many of God's children live under the state of chastening all their life. They really are not blessed. they're not sometimes totally happy and peaceful and joyful and like they read in the Bible. It's like there's another world that they know nothing about because they never experienced it. Number two, chastening. When you rebel against God's leading, He will deal with you as strong a measure as it takes for you to obey Him. Now, you still may not. And God may have to take you home. You see, God took some people. He says, I can take you into... Do you know from Kadesh Barnea into the promised land was only 11 days journey? 11 days journey. It's all the further it was. And it took them 40 years to go an 11 days journey. Some of y'all have been saved 20, 30, 40 years. And you still haven't got out of the wilderness yet. Because you've never gotten to the land that flows with milk and honey. You've never enjoyed the blessings of God. You're still always in the land of chastening because you won't follow Him wholly, fully, and really enjoy the things of God. And that's why when things go wrong, you fall apart and you'll murmur and complain about everything because you're not right. It's not God. It's not people. It's not circumstances. It's you. You aren't doing right. You haven't put Him first. He is not number one. You are not focused. You're double-minded. And you're never going to have what you could have had if you'd have put Him first. It'll be a world, a life that you never knew about, heard about, but never experienced for yourself. Look in the little box that says people are motivated mainly by two things, love and fear. Serving God is different from being taught. See, I'm teaching, but you got to catch it. If you never catch it, then you'll never get it. It'll be knowledge, but you didn't catch it. Of a lot of people that I've talked to over the years, there's a few, a handful, that really catch what I'm talking about, even on the clarity of the gospel. So important. But let me tell you that you're not going to understand the simplicity of serving God until you understand chastening and rewards, the blessings of the chastening or the punishment. Understand the difference in what brings. And that's why when you read these Old Testament stories and it talks about how that here's all these people that could have gone into the land 40 years before. They didn't. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust Him. Said, would to God we had died in the wilderness. God says, okay. They did. God let them die in the wilderness. See, if you serve God wholly, then your Father is obligated to take care of His children, to bless you, protect you, provide all these wonderful things. But when you want to leave that position as a child of God and get out here in the world and do it yourself, I don't need you, God. I know what I want. I know what's best for me. And I don't want your will. You're too legalistic. You're too strict. I want freedom. So you go out here and you get trapped in all of these sins. You rebel against God. God says, well, that's what you wanted. That's what you got. Shut up. Stop whining and complaining. That's your choice. Because you wouldn't serve me wholly. You know who I am. You know I'm God. You know you're your child. You know I'll never cast you. I'll never lose you. But see, you bring that upon yourself. Many of God's people do. They bring misery upon themselves. Because they won't serve the Lord with joyfulness of heart. Number one, under Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, I want you to look at the scriptures for the sake of time. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. For whom the Lord loveth, He what? He correct. It means He doesn't let you just do what you want. So many times you'll find yourself, you're always going through life resisting God and God resisting you. You want something, God not letting you get it. Ain't that a miserable way to live? The kid wants something that he ain't supposed to have, and here's mommy and daddy wanting the kid to have something that he can have. And because he won't do what he's supposed to do, he don't get that or the other. He don't get any one of them. Whose fault's that? Well, the kid won't obey. And they think that you're just so strict. Well, let me do what I want to do. God says, look, I design life. I know what's best for you. But isn't it true that most people think they know what's best for themselves? Your way will work better than God's way. That's why you'll challenge God. You're always arguing with God. Backtalk God. Instead of, Lord, whatever you want. Did you ever see Jesus doing that? Not what I will, but thy will be done. Here he makes a statement in this quote. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, notice, when God corrects you, it is because he what? He hates you? No. Because he loves you and delights in you and knows what's best for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your Heavenly Father knows what's best for you? Yes, he does. His will never lead you into sin. It'll never lead you contrary to truth. His will not do that. The Holy Spirit that dwells within you will never lead you contrary to that which is righteous and holy. If it leads in the wrong direction, you know it's not of God. The other statement here in Job chapter 5, verse 17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Happy is the man to whom God corrects. When God has the freedom through the Holy Spirit to work in your life and correct you, God says you're going to be a happy man. When you learn to listen to God, you can be happy. If you don't, you won't be happy. You'll never be happy. Happiness will be something that will be like a soap bubble that always pops in your hand. You're living in a dream world. A bubble world, make-believe world, and it's not there. And some people need to get a grip on life and understand the truth of what God's Word's teaching. I want you to note this now. I've mentioned to this many times, but I wanted to put it down in print so you got a copy of it. In 1 John 1:9, just look at this verse here. When a Christian disobeys God, he should confess it right away. Every time you confess your sin, you will be forgiven. That's what God promises. God forgives you for what you do wrong. And if you will judge yourself, God won't have to. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? When you do wrong and you confess it, God will forgive you. Do you understand that? All right. Now, there's two other things you need to understand. That whenever you do something wrong, there's something important to realize. Letter A, God does not guarantee restoration of fellowship on the basis of confession of sin. Fellowship with the Lord comes when a Christian walks with God, when he disciplines his life so that he has things in common with the Lord. You see, fellowship with the Lord is two walking in agreement. And just because you confessed your sin doesn't make everything right with God because you confessed a sin. You were right in confessing the sin, but that doesn't mean everything's right. Now, you need to restore your walk. Your fellowship will be restored when your walk is restored. And if you don't restore your walk, then your fellowship and your joy will not be there. The other point I want you to see there, number letter B, God does not guarantee restoration of damage resulting from sin on the basis of confession of sin. For instance, perhaps a Christian has gone away from things of the Lord and starts to drink, ruins his kidneys. He confesses his sin. Yes, the Lord will forgive him. But that forgiveness doesn't heal his damaged kidneys. Do you understand that? You reap what you sow. The law of the harvest is always you reap the same thing, you reap later, and more of it. Do you understand that? See, my responsibility is to try to get you to understand something. I can't make you apply anything. True? You're the one that decides whether or not will you walk with God or will you not walk with God. Will you serve Him wholly or will you just be half-hearted? Do you really understand what the Word of God teaches? It is so important. Look at number four as we close. There is a natural result of sin as well as God's personal chastisement in your life. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. I wonder why it says that. Because so many people are what? Deceived. They deceive themselves. It means that you can't see it. You don't understand. You won't believe that it will work. And just like Satan has blinded the minds of the multitudes of the people in the world from hearing and understanding the simple plan of salvation, they think it's so complicated, so hard, they can't see that. And you're saved and you understand, why can't they see it? It's so simple. All right, but then you turn right around and you can't see the simplicity of serving. It's so simple. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice that God does not add, except he confess it. If you confess your sins, then you won't reap it. No. You can sow bad things and bad decisions, and you can confess and say that was wrong. In other words, a man may run around with his wife Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. That was so wrong. Please forgive me. She said, I forgive you. There's the door. Don't come back. You see, being restored means you got to restore the walk. And you may not be able to restore that walk. She may not want to walk with you no more. Does God forgive you? Yeah, God can forgive you. But it doesn't mean the marriage is healed just because, well, I forgive you. No. That doesn't mean everything's healed. That don't make everything right. That don't undo all the damage that's been done. And those results can hinder your life for the rest of your life. Understand that. And it'll take an awful lot of the grace of God in an individual to overcome some of the things that people do to each other. And just, well, I'm sorry, ain't gonna cut it. You have to rebuild a relationship. You have to rebuild that trustworthiness. It's not automatically given. You got to rebuild. Many of God's people are rebuilders. We mess up and we got to rebuild. But it always starts with, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's where you start. You have to admit. Look up here. This is you and me, and this is sin. We all have sin on us. God says He loves us. God always loves us. Hates our sin, but He loves us. And for you and I to pay for sin, eternal separation from God in hell. But He loves us, wants us to go to heaven. To go to heaven, we have to be as righteous as God. None of us are righteous. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. God says you cannot save yourself by the things that you do. It's not by works of righteousness. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. Came into the world because He loves us. Hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. So Christ, He took the sin, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. Said that if we would believe, He did it for us. He put the payment to our account. We'd go to heaven on what He did for us. So I trusted Christ as my Savior, and He saved me, gave me eternal life. I became His child. As a child of God, I don't go to church because, well, I have to. No, I don't. I don't read my Bible, and I don't witness because I have to. I live by grace. It means I do because I want to. I want to. If you do all those things because you have to, no, you don't have to do anything. And God's the one that knows that you're doing it half-heartedly and you're not doing it out of love. You'd be better off if you stayed home than to be a hypocrite. I'm just being honest with you. You say, is that what I want you to do? No. I want you to do it fully, wholeheartedly, for the right reasons. Because you love Him. Because of what He's done. No, I want families to be healed. I want kids to do right. I want husbands to love their wives. Wives to love their... I want everything to be right. Because I know that that's what God wants. And God blesses. God keep His word. Let's pray, shall we?